Hey everyone, welcome to the Compass Podcast. Today I am joined by none other than CK from Bitcoin Magazine. Most of you know CK. We're going to talk about Bitcoin Magazine. We're going to talk about Bitcoin 2021. We're going to talk about all of the madness that is going to ensue in Miami that you will need to be there to be a part of. We know everyone's waiting. Really looking forward to this episode. I'm excited for this conference. It's going to be awesome to see some people in real life shake some Bitcoiners' hands again. But without further ado, we're going to get right over to the show after this word from our sponsor. I hope that you enjoyed this episode. If you do, please consider subscribing and leaving a review on your preferred listening platform. It really helps out the show. The Compass Podcast is presented commercial free by Compass, the number one Bitcoin mining marketplace. If you want to get started mining Bitcoin, source hard to find ASICs, or find competitively priced hosting space, then check Compass out at compassmining.io. And now, on to the show. CK, how's it going, man? Welcome.
Dude, wait. Your background looks absolutely amazing. I know you're already in Miami, so I can't wait to be there too.
I'm excited for you to be down here, man. It's going to be awesome. Actually, we've never met in real life yet, have we?
No, just across the screen, but I mean, you've been everywhere, so it's kind of hard to ignore Wit.
Yeah, what can I say? But no, man, look, I'm excited that we get to have this chat. You guys have been just on fire lately. Bitcoin Magazine, Bitcoin 2021. I want to talk about it all. But before we get into this, one of the stories that I have yet to hear, CK, how did you get into Bitcoin?
Dude, it's a great story, man. I feel blessed and lucky that, you know, I came in at a point where I could find Bitcoin pretty easily and quickly. But 2017, a lot of like crazy ICO badness and all that kind of good stuff happening. And a friend of mine, a lady was like, "Hey, have you heard of Bitcoin? Like, you should really look into it. It's pretty important." And that was the first time I'd ever given Bitcoin, you know, any kind of due diligence or research. But I was driving up to a wedding in October, and I listened to every single Laura Shin podcast on the way to the wedding, and then on the way back, it was like a 4-hour drive, and by the end of that drive, I got home, downloaded Coinbase app, created an account, bought $500 of Bitcoin, $100 of Ethereum, and like $50 of Litecoin, and the rest is history. You know, I was obsessed with Bitcoin. I started just like watching videos. I very quickly turned my Yell at Trump Twitter account into a Bitcoin into like a Bitcoin crypto Twitter account, and yeah, I started scheming. How can I quit my normie job and get into Bitcoin? And I feel lucky because, you know, yeah, there's a lot of confusion at the time around Bitcoin, altcoins, crypto in general. Like, what was, you know, what was noise? What was signal? It was kind of hard to tell. But you know, I had at least critical enough mind to be like, it can't be, you know, rainbows and unicorns. Like, I've seen startups, like a lot of these are just shitty startups with a token on top of them. So I started just kind of asking the right questions and immediately found like Bitcoin maximalists online, like being really critical. You know, I feel lucky that I kind of like found the signal in Bitcoin, you know, within like maybe 2 months, really. So not to say that, you know, there's nothing else happening in Bitcoin that is, you know, outside of BTC exclusively that's interesting, but definitely in 2017, saved me a lot of pain, saved me a lot of cringe, just to kind of hone in on Bitcoin.
So what was the normie job that you left to go full-time Bitcoin?
Yeah, I mean, I've been working in Silicon Valley just doing sales. So I was doing sales at like just this horribly cringe type of a company where we were modeling consumer data and then selling like leads to direct marketers.
Oh, man.
So it's like literally the opposite of Bitcoin. So I was miserable there and, you know, found Bitcoin, got obsessed, just started scheming. How can I quit? Ended up going to the Miami Shitcoin Conference 2018. There's banana coin pop-ups and everything there. But thankfully, the Bitcoin Magazine team was there, too. So February 2018, joined the Bitcoin Magazine team doing conference sales. So kept doing sales and started doing POV crypto podcasts a little bit later after that. And you know, started making my way into the Bitcoin content arena.
The rest is history, right?
The rest is history. Yep.
So, I mean, Bitcoin Magazine has, I mean, obviously it's a longstanding publication in the space, but, you know, since I've been in, if you want to call it that, since 2017, it's really grown to be, you know, the Bitcoiner hangout. Like, you guys do your happy hours, you've got your podcast that you do, the live streams. It's a great source of content for Bitcoin. I have not yet been to a conference yet. Bitcoin 2019 conference, I've missed all of them. So 2021 is going to be my first conference that is focused entirely on Bitcoin. What should I expect, man? I've like bar set high. Like, what I've heard half pipes. I've heard like I should expect more of a Lollapalooza type of environment than, you know, than a conference. What's the word?
Dude, I mean, yeah, it's going to be absolutely wild. So I started in event sales. I don't do event sales anymore, but like I've sold events during the bear market. And this is not that. Like the excitement, the interest, like the amount of people that are jumping in on this event is just insane. Like I think right now we have like four politicians on the website as speakers, right? Warren That's David, crazy. Cynthia Lummis, Francisco Suarez, the mayor of Miami. So, yep. and there's more like, in terms of like big shot speakers, like everyone is coming to us and saying yes, right? Preston Pish reached out to us, like all this stuff. So it's a completely different ball game. And in terms of ticket sales, last month alone in ticket sales, we made more than all of our previous conferences in the bear market combined. So That's in terms crazy. Of just like, who's going to be there? Literally everyone. Like it's just insane. We've already sold over 4,000 tickets and like we're entering into like the red zone, right? So in terms of event sales, like all of that happened the last 6 weeks, the last month, right? That's when the FOMO starts. So I mean, the fact that we're more than 60% capacity sold out and we haven't even entered the sales period, right? Where all the money is really made is just, it's super bullish. And I think we have like 10 satellite events already. So time of recording 68 or 58 days away from the event. We already have like 10 satellite events like scheduled with us. So this is like side events that are affiliated with the conference, you know, leading up to the conference or the nights of the conference, stuff like that. And, you know, again, like 2 weeks out, that's going to be like 60, you know, it's not just crazy. About the conference. It's about the whole Bitcoin week in Miami and like who's going to be in Miami. Right. So, Lollapalooza, maybe like, I don't want to like create like too much like expectations, but South by Southwest vibes in terms of all the satellite events in conjunction with like the big main conference. Mm-hmm. You know, we have an official after party that we have the biggest potential after party venue in Miami. So if we sell out of tickets on that, like we can't go bigger. So this is it. So FTX is sponsoring that, and you know that they're going to bring it too. So
I'm sorry. I mean, I'm sorry. Is that a little Easter egg in there? Do we have, like, are we going to, is this after party going to be at Miami Arena or I'm sorry, FTX Arena? Are we?
No. It's not that big of a party, but it's a quite a big venue. It's not just a club. Let me just say that. Not just a club.
Well, I mean, but the Mana Wynwood, where the event is going to be held, it's a really dope facility. Like the space is amazing.
Pump it. Yeah. Tell us, Whit.
So Wynwood by itself is, I mean, I grew up in Miami and it used to be an area that you didn't like, you wouldn't want to be there after dark, right? But over the last 20 years, it's grown into this awesome artsy community. It's got amazing restaurants, great nightlife. There's a lot of graffiti and artwork there. It's got just this bohemian vibe to it. But Mana, it sits in like the back corner of Wynwood. And it's this massive lot with this huge white building with just a couple of like splashed graffiti pieces of artwork on the wall. Once you walk inside, it's just this massive blank canvas. Like you walk in, dope, open space, great area. The last event that I was there for, I mean, they had two or three stages set up, tons of displays there. Outside, they basically set up a makeshift nightclub. So like once the event was done, everyone just literally walked outside. That was it. It was just, and I think that party went until like 7 a.m. the next day. So, because it's Miami, right? Like there's like not really rules. It's kind of like guidelines. So I'm pumped for it, man. I'm pumped for it. It's a great space. It's close to everything too. You're like 10 minutes from the airport, 5 minutes from downtown, and there's tons of places to stay. It's Miami. It's going to be nice. It's going to be hot, but you know, it's summer. Wait,
Remind me that I need to get you up on our Bitcoin 2021 clubhouses, because you just showed the venue and Wynwood in general so much better than I do it. So, like, honestly, I've been to Miami many times, and Wynwood in general is close to my heart. I've had fantastic nights there with my fiance, great dinners, just a good vibe. But I've actually never been to the venue itself. I've been, you know, here in San Francisco slaving away at Bitcoin Magazine. While the events team, you know, they're slaving away as well, working really hard, but, you know, they've definitely gone to the venue several times. And, you know, we like blank canvases. You weren't at Bitcoin 2019, but I'm sure a lot of the listeners were. And I mean, Bitcoin 2019, that venue was a blank canvas, and we graffitied it up. We built a lot of cool stuff there. We had a giant bee behind like the main stage. So we get the same vibe from Mana Wynwood, except that's cleaner and better and has a better outdoor space. So we're trying to just do Bitcoin 2019 bigger and better in the bull market. So I'm really hyped.
Yeah, it's going to be dope. I'm so excited for it. So of all of the speakers that are going to be there, I'm going to put you on the spot here. Who are you most looking forward to hearing talk?
So, I mean, almost all of these speakers are going to be here in person, first of all. So that is super, super hype. And, you know, because this is the conference that you have to be at, and we are all Bitcoiners, we're all about getting together and like kind of like leading with courage. You know, we've been in the position for some of these, you know, even bigger shot guys to be like, hey, you know, if you can't be there in person, maybe next year. Right. So it's like that's kind of been like our position. And, you know, almost all of these folks are going to be here in person. So I think that is really awesome. I'm really excited. You know, first and foremost, John Vallis and Peter McCormick are going to be co-hosting as MCs. And like, I think that they bring such a dope energy, you know, individually themselves. So I'm really excited to see that. I mean, John Vallis, I've really been loving his podcast. He's kind of up and coming. And then, of course, Peter is just building something that's, you know, to marvel at. He's built over the past 3 years in terms of a media organization. And so I'm excited to have both their personalities. I already plugged a bunch of the politicians, but a lot of the like other kind of like movers and shakers that have like entered into the Bitcoin space recently. It's we're going to have Preston Pysh. Who else? We're going to have
Chamath will be there.
Yeah, Chamath is going to be there. That's a scary one in terms of like some Bitcoiners are getting upset. But I mean, like we're seeing a lot of heat, like, you know, Mike Novogratz, Steve Lee, like I can just name drop off the list. But I'm trying to think of like, you know, who are the newer guys who've jumped in this space who are going to be there too.
Michael Saylor is the... Dude. You know,
yes, of
Sailor
course.
Sailor Moon, bro. Sailor Moon. Yeah, look, the
and he's a Miami native too, right? So, you know, his yacht is already going to be here. That's easy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, look, there's the potential for a lot of people to be here now, especially that all the tech bros are moving from your area to my area, right? Like the migration pattern is happening. It's
it's like I want to migrate, to be honest, but there's some forces keeping me here. I mean, dude, like again, Jack Dorsey, Chamath, Tony Hawk, the headliners on the website, our queen, Senator Cynthia Lummis, you know, she's really legitimized Bitcoin in a big way. And, you know, I think that she's making a lot of jaws drop over there in DC with the amount of enthusiasm Bitcoiners have towards her. So, you know, I think that she's kind of like this catalyst of, you know, a lot of people in DC getting onto the Bitcoin bandwagon. So I'm super excited to see what happens with her. It's also going to be, you know, we have two kind of main content tracks. The first, which is exclusively only at Whale Night and over in the deep, which is the VIP section, is all like institutional focused stuff. So, you know, of course, you know, Michael's going to be in there dropping a lot of kind of like the more institutional bombs. And then during the 2 day event on the 4th and the 5th, you know, we're going to have two main stages as well. So a large kind of big stage where we're going to have real highlight kind of conversations as well as, you know, really exciting panels. And then a secondary stage, which again is great for solo presentations, going to have demos. And then outside in that huge outdoor area, we're going to have Tony Hawk riding the half pipe. We're going to have sumo wrestlers. Legit, we're having sumo wrestlers. They've been commissioned. Like, there is someone whose job is to, like, coordinate all of this stuff. And outside, there's also going to be two big kind of like semi indoor outdoor areas. One is going to be the open source dome, which like all these open source like aspects of the Bitcoin community, you know, these projects, they can hop in there, give little workshops, little presentations. But also is that's where the deep is going to be. So the deep is our VIP section. Again, there's going to be institutional content in there. It's going to be a huge area, all AC'd. Again, a private area just for kind of VIPs to kind of get away, but be right there with the conference, with the rest of the plebeians. So, I mean, again, like, you know, the outdoor area in at the Man of Wynwood, like it's huge. So there's a lot to work with. So like, imagine, you know, outdoor bar, people hanging out, picnic tables everywhere, half pipe, sumo wrestlers, and then two large kind of like domes where we have presentations and VIPs hanging out.
I'm ready to time travel, bro. Let's go to June. Let's skip this part, go right to 100K Bitcoin. First weekend in June. Let's go.
So 100K or 200K? Because Matt Odell is saying 200K or is saying 100K by May and then 200K by conference day.
Okay. I look. I'm not gonna be
okay
mad.
With that.
I'm not gonna be mad either way. I'll take it either way. Look, I would prefer for us to stay closer to 100K for a little bit longer, just so these ASICs don't run away from people on prices.
Yeah.
But yeah. I mean, look, any price action up is good. I don't care. 70K, 100K, 200K, a million, whatever. Let's just be happy, right? We've got this great trend going.
I'm not gonna lie. I'm gonna be pretty disappointed if we don't have six figures by conference. Like, I've been pumping 200K. You know, looking at the trajectory, that's a stretch. But God, we gotta hit 100. Come on, let's go, Bitcoin.
we're over halfway there, right? We're yes. Closer to 100 than we are to zero. So
that's true. And I mean, it's not. A lot of time has passed, you know, like we were 30K in January. So, you know, we need to do some more up. There's a lot of sideways going on right now. So, you know, Bitcoin, we're counting on you for this conference. Like, we need the energy to be insane. 2019, the Bitcoin 2019 conference was like exactly during that little relief pump in 2019. Yeah, I don't know if you remember. It went to like 14,000 and then it just dumped straight down to 3K. But during when it hit 14,000, that was the second day of Bitcoin 2019. So the energy in there was insane. We had massive TVs that were just showing the price pumping. Like, people were getting so hyped. Like, I want to bring that back just tenfold. And that, like, I'm really hoping for six figure Bitcoin.
I mean, look, it's the perfect storm. I don't know if the event can handle six figure Bitcoin, to be honest, with like the end of COVID. And the first conference and everyone getting to see each other for the first time in a long time and six figure Bitcoin. I don't know, bro. Like, they'll call the National Guard or something. This is going to be bananas.
Dude, I mean, hey, the security is going to be no joke just because of the type of people that are already going to be there. So sure. Like, if they're a headline speaker, like they have like a team who's like messaging us and like managing all this stuff. So I don't know. I think we can handle it, Whit. Like, don't have no doubt. Like, the fact that we've come this far, like, we deserve 6K or six figure Bitcoin.
Six figure Bitcoin. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. We'll edit that part out. no, man, look, this is an event that I think everyone is looking forward to, and the entire community. You know, I think everyone has like, whether you're a Bitcoiner or a shitcoiner, whatever, everyone has a place in their heart for Bitcoin because Bitcoin is the king. Bitcoin is generally what gets people in and keeps people around. All the other distractions may entertain people for a while, but Bitcoin is Bitcoin, right? And there are a ton of, I think there's going to be 50 to 60,000 people in the city just for this event. Whether they're able to get in or not, they're going to be here to be around the fire.
South by Southwest energy. People go to South by Southwest, go to Austin with no plan of even going to the conference. They're just there for the energy. And like, there's an event in Orlando that's happening the day after our conference just to try to like get some of the momentum. So like, yeah, that's absolutely the trajectory. And honestly, like, I just hope it's such a huge smashing success that we have to do it in Miami again. Cause like, Miami is awesome. I especially like working with Miami in 2021. Really awesome. Yeah.
The energy is crazy down here. So, all right. Conference is the conference. Anyone who is listening to this, stay frosty. We are going to be giving away a few conference tickets for people who want to come to Bitcoin 2021 and don't yet have them. So when this show comes out, we'll announce the terms of that giveaway, but we're definitely going to give away a handful of tickets. Probably going to give away somewhere between 5 and 20 tickets between the time the show is released and the time the conference starts. We've also got a lot of other fun stuff. We're going to be there as exhibitors. And this is the first time we're telling anyone this, but every day of the conference, we are going to give away a brand new ASIC and 1 year of hosting free. So you're going to get to print Bitcoin for 1 year on Compass. At the end of it, you're going to have your own ASIC, about $15,000 in value per day that we're going to give away. So we're excited for that. So
how do you become a part of the one ASIC giveaway? Do you have to be at the conference?
You have to be at the conference. It's going to be a registration at our booth and we'll select the winner every day. It's going to be fun. Yeah. And everyone who wins, they will be able to start mining before the conference ends. So if you win on Friday, you're mining on Saturday. You win on Saturday, you're mining on Sunday. Sunday, mining on Monday. So we're stoked for this. It's going to be a good time.
Yo, I am freaking hyped. Like I said, I've yet to meet you in person, although we've done a bunch of these podcasts and streams. Like, I'm excited to meet you. I'm excited to meet so many other people. Like, I feel like, you know, Bitcoiners have been some of the most social people in the world. And, you know, we definitely use the internet to its full advantage. So I feel like the conference is going to be an opportunity to just, you know, get to gather again. And it's one of the best parts about Bitcoin is just the community.
For sure. Well, CK, let's talk Bitcoin Magazine. All right. So aside from the conference, what's the plan? Like, where are you guys heading directionally over the next 6 months?
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, I know that with Compass, you guys are like leading the way with just like focusing and honing in on mining, on everything mining, right? And I love that. And that's kind of like what we're trying to do with Bitcoin Magazine is hone in on everything BTC, right? So there's a lot of people commenting on the entire crypto space. We want to be, we think that Bitcoin is a signal in the long game for sure. And, you know, for us, if we can be the most trusted voice, the leading voice in Bitcoin, especially amongst, you know, let's call them the Bitcoin diehards, the tastemakers out there, then I think we're doing the right thing. So let me know if we're not, if you see something like as a Bitcoiner that you don't like that Bitcoin Magazine is doing, but we're just trying to win Bitcoin ultimately. So whether that is like from a technical perspective, whether that's onboarding newbie perspective, whether that is aggregating Bitcoin news and like being the trusted place to like, hey, you're going to learn about Bitcoin. You're going to get everything that you need about the space and the happenings. And you're not going to have to deal with any like baloney headlines, right? You can just follow us. Bitcoin Magazine has you covered.
Did you say baloney? I like that. I haven't heard baloney in a while. So no, man, look.
Spare you the bleeping.
Hey, this is a Bitcoin podcast. You can drop F-bombs. We're all right. Man, but look, this is a really exciting time for Bitcoin. This is a really exciting time for the space. I think when it comes to media, you guys do a great job of the coverage that you provide. You guys are always Johnny on the spot when it comes to important news. And you're such big cheerleaders for everyone that's doing great things in the space. It's so cool to see because, you know, like as a company that's active, like sometimes it's hard. Like it's hard to get your message out. And you guys always do a good job of shining a spotlight on people who, you know, they may not have the budget to do a ton of marketing. They may not have the understanding or the wherewithal of, you know, how media works. You guys are always there to make sure that you're getting good attention to the people who deserve it. So as a Bitcoiner, right now, let's leave Compass out of this one. What's the one product or service that's being built on or around Bitcoin that you're the most excited about right now?
Yeah, I mean, this seems like really lame, but I just think straight multisig. And I think the fact that you can now download Spectre Wallet, get a pruned node on your normal everyday laptop, and then you can interface with either a single sig setup or a multisig setup with your own node, just like that. Like, that's freaking awesome. And I mean, like, people are always saying like, oh, no one's going to run a node. But like, I honestly see like a node is kind of like your little like house router. Like everyone has a router. Like maybe in the 70s, like, oh, no one's going to run an internet router in their home. Like joke's on you. Like, so this is like your little bank router, your little money router. So the fact that like, you know, there's projects like Sparrow Wallet, Spectre Wallet, many others, Nunchuck that like are making it super easy. And like, I don't know for the listeners out there, if you've ran a pruned node, but like, it's like 1.5 gigs. Like, yeah, it takes a while to download the node, okay, you know, go camping for a weekend while you download your node. And then boom, it's like 1.5 gigs after that. And you're using Bitcoin trustlessly. Like, that's huge. So, I mean, I think that's amazing. You said leave Compass out, but like, people have always been hating on, you can't mine Bitcoin. Mining Bitcoin is not accessible, blah, blah, blah. We need proof of stake. We need this bullshit so, you know, people can participate in consensus. And it's just such horseshit. And I think like the stuff that, you know, one from validation, running your node, securing your keys with Spectre and stuff like that. And then on the flip side, you know, businesses that are hustling to make mining accessible. I've seen, you know, the guys over at Upstream Data, like, yep, they're not only just selling, you know, their Gassler mining boxes, but they're just freaking hustling, you know, what's miners and Bitmain and, you know, and yeah, Ant miners, right? They're just freaking selling miners. And like, you just got to love that hustle. They're getting it out to the people. People are mining to get KYC free coins. People are mining as like a long-term speculation. Like, you know, like, and I think enthusiasts are getting into mining. And like, I think what you guys are doing like is amazing. You know, a lot of people have done it in different ways. And I think that you guys are making it really approachable and really professional and comfortable for people to like secure the Bitcoin network and be a part of it.
Look, it's what it's all about. We got to make Bitcoin as secure as possible. If we're all planning on being here long term, then it's got to be around to support us. You know, you got to feed what you're going to eat later. So it's very important.
I don't know if you know this, but I mining just fascinates me, man. And like, it's super bullish to me to see like the use case of like proof of work as like a grid balancing mechanism and as like a reliable energy demand for energy production. Like, and I know that you guys are deep on this. Like, can we just jam on that a little bit? Because for me, like I'll have that conversation any day just because it like, wait, forget the sound money, which is already, mm-hmm, you know, humanity changing. Like, let's talk about grid balancing. Like, let's talk about the mining. Like, I don't think people understand like Bitcoin is like a 10x, 1000x improvement on like so many different fronts, and like no one really like sees the whole picture.
Yeah, well, you know, it's very important as we move towards carbon neutrality. And I think that like, I mean, obviously the low hanging fruit and the FUD that people attack is that Bitcoin consumes a ton of energy, or it's bad for the environment, it's blowing the oceans. It's all bullshit, right? In reality, Bitcoin consumes energy that is available, and fiat consumes much more energy to support itself. So it's not like we're doing anything out of the ordinary. I think that Bitcoin right now, because of how nascent the industry is and because of how fast it's scaling, it's actually being used in a way that's very favorable to move the entire world towards carbon neutrality. So like, if you look at Kentucky, Kentucky's incentivizing people to come there and mine. They're playing the long game, right? If I have a goal of moving towards being carbon neutral by 2050, then what I have to do is I have to allow my existing power producers to sell their existing power so that they have the money to fund the new build out of the, you know, renewable energy sources, and then they can switch those out. What can't occur is if you are producing and losing money as a power producer, right? You don't have anything to, like, how are you going to switch your infrastructure over? You don't have any money, right? So the government can't subsidize that. So what they do instead is they incentivize power consumers to come to this area. They give them certain credits, and then they can consume the power from the grid while these power producers can build out the new renewable sources. We're seeing this in China as well, right? China is increasing power costs for anyone that's using fossil fuels. And they're encouraging them to move to places that have renewable energy sources so that they can shut down these coal plants. So like in the West, we hear, well, China's attacking Bitcoin because they're raising the power prices. In reality, they're raising the power prices so that these people get off of coal and move to hydro. They're disincentivizing them to stay put and use the power that they have. And it's becoming this awesome mechanism, which Bitcoin is actually leading the charge to renewables, because Bitcoin miners by nature are always seeking the cheapest, most efficient power. And that is by definition, renewable energy. So, you know, we see this in all different areas. Steve and the Upstream Data guys, Chase and Crusoe. Marty and Great American Mining. No more GAM. It's Great American Mining. They're doing it, right? They're finding these sources of energy that are either going to be burned and damage the environment or just be completely wasted altogether. And they're utilizing these to strengthen Bitcoin's network while, of course, maintaining and sustaining a nice business. But they are, I think these are the best stalwarts for moving the renewable energy movement forward. And it's critically important that like we start to take ownership of this as Bitcoiners and just like plant our flag in the fact that like, fuck global warming. We're fixing the planet. And anyone who says different They're just hating because they don't like non-state money. That's all it is. They don't want non-state money. So they're trying to find any way that they can to put a chink in our armor.
Yeah. I mean, I love that. And again, I think Bitcoiners need to own the narrative for sure, just because we've allowed other people to set the narrative and it's just so wrong. And the reality is, like you said, we are the tip of the spear. We're the ones leading the innovation. Like, yep. And they're just too stupid to even see it, which just kind of like, again, shows you got to question pretty much everything. Like, okay, let's call it environmentalists or whatever saying, because they're not doing their own research. They're not doing their due diligence on this stuff. And if we're going to move towards like a world where we have grids that work and grids that don't waste energy and grids that are tight and like we have like appropriate kind of energy pricing and distribution, like you're not going to get there with like government mandates. You know, we need Bitcoin.
Yeah. Well, look, people are impressionable, myself included, right? I mean, I think we've all been in a situation in life where like, let's say you watch a documentary, you watch Knives Over Forks. And then by the end of it, you're like, oh, that's it. I'm going to be a vegetarian, right? And then you go for like a day or a week and then you're like, okay, this sucks. I need meat in my life. But we all have that initial impressionable nature where we want to do good for the world. We see something that's going wrong, we want to fix it. So when environmentalists or anyone attacks Bitcoin because it's damaging the environment, your knee-jerk reaction is this, ah, fuck Bitcoin, right? If it's damaging the environment, I don't want to damage the environment. I'm not a bad person, so I don't want to do bad things. But the deeper you go and the more you look, the more you find out. But just most people never get below the surface, right? Like as a society, we're a mile wide and an inch deep. And in Bitcoin, we're a mile wide and a mile deep. So like we understand it all, right? Like we're looking deep at everything because we're questioning everything. It's part of being in the environment. But when you're looking at the outsiders, they're not there yet. So like as Bitcoiners, we really need to like force them underwater and let them know that it's a lot deeper than they think it is.
I like that. Force them underwater. Well, hopefully, I mean, people don't take that too literally.
Yeah, don't be drowning people for Bitcoin.
Yeah, we definitely need to have empathy, I think. Like empathy is key as Bitcoiners communicating out. And like, you know, people need to get trained out of the worldview and into the Bitcoin worldview and mentality. And that's through and through, whether that's politics or whether that is whether that's mining and energy and stuff like that. I want to bring it full circle back to the conference, right? Because
there we go.
You know, you mentioned there's all this kind of stuff happening around Bitcoin. There's all this kind of like, you know, uncertainty, doubt, misinformation. I think the best way to taste Bitcoin is to just meet the people who are building it, right? Like, yep. There's nothing better than going to a Bitcoin event and feeling how enthusiastic everyone is. And like in a world where like COVID is just bringing everyone down, one, Miami is not bringing everyone down. And then two, put the most optimistic people in the freaking world who are getting hilariously rich all in the same place in that optimistic place. Like, come on, this energy is going to freaking make headlines. It's going to be insane. And we're doing our best to get the limit on this event to be 10,000 people, which means that, I mean, it is going to be a freaking banger. Mana That's can handle crazy. It. It's actually, I think, holds over 15,000. So
yeah,
there's definitely space. But, you know, we're bringing it, man. Like, this is going to be an incredible conference, incredible energy. Like, the exhibitor area where Compass is going to be hanging out, like, there's going to be over 100 exhibitors. So, like, like, if you're a company in the Bitcoin space, like, and you are, if you're a person in the Bitcoin space and you want to get a job, like, I can't think of a better place than, you know, going and shaking hands with like every team in the industry.
Yeah. It's really cool at these conferences, just seeing what exists currently and what's coming, right? It's fun to like, just have some spare Bitcoin queued up to play around with, like 100, 200 bucks that you can figure out and test new things with, whether it's new ways to send or new ways to store or whatever. It's all so awesome to see. So it's very exciting. If anyone is going to be there exhibiting, what we want to figure out how to do is to efficiently pay everyone on our team who wants to be paid in Bitcoin. Jack Mallers, I'm looking at you, bro. I expect to see you there. I want to get this queued up for the Compass team for sure. But look, CK, man, I've really enjoyed this conversation. I'm excited to see you in person in June. Thank you for coming on the show.
Dude, thank you for having me. And yeah, yo, to the listeners, go to the conference, get free tickets from Wit. If you don't want to gamble on that, ticket prices are pretty much going up every 2 weeks. So you can get your ticket right now. Use promo code Satoshi. Save yourself 10% off. If you pay with Bitcoin, you also get another $50 off. So maximize your savings. Promo code Satoshi. Pay with Bitcoin. You know the drill. Freaking be in Miami. Like, are you going to miss out on this energy? I hope not.
That's a wrap for us at the Compass Podcast. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, please subscribe and consider leaving us a 5-star review on your preferred listening platform. Thanks again, everyone. The thoughts and opinions expressed by the hosts and guests on the Compass Podcast are their own and do not represent the opinions of Compass Mining, Inc. None of this content should be considered financial advice.